Back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we're going to go directly to a piece put together by Emma Hart and one of my colleagues at 3CR. She's from Earth Matters. Oh no, Accent of Women. And that's another one of our great programs. Both of them are great programs. But anyway, moving right along. Emma spoke to Ian Brown. He's a Gamilaroi man from Moree and a member of the Gamilara Next Generation about the fight to stop Santos Narrabri gas project in northwest New South Wales. The first stage of the project will feature 850 coal seam gas extraction wells drilled down through the Great Artesian Basin within four areas of the Pilliga State Forest. Frightful. Anyway, 3CR broadcaster Emma Hart spoke with Ian last week following a legal hearing about Santos Gas Project on February the 7th. So it's the first part of the chat.
My name's Ian Brown. I'm a Gomeroi man from Moree, New South Wales. That's part of the Gamilaroi language group, and I'm also a member of Gamilaroi Next Generation, which is a group of young Gomeroi and Gamilaroi people who come together around November of 2020. It was in response to the approval of Stage 1 of the Narrabri Gas Project.
Thanks so much for joining us on the program today, Ian. So for people who might not know, can you tell us about Santos's Narrabri Gas Project?
So the Narrabri Gas Project first came to Gomeroi's attention around 11 years ago. The project itself will be looking at occupying space within the Pilliga State Forest, known as the Pilliga to Gomeroi people. As a part of the stage one of that project, they're looking to establish 850 gas wells for extraction. As a part of that process, they'll be extracting gas as well as underground water reserves. Since it's come around, there has been ongoing resistance, not only from mob but other interested parties up in that region. So we've had a lot of support from non-Indigenous allied groups, as well as a real staunch resistance from Gomeroi mob themselves. So this fight has been occurring now for 11 years, and as I stated at the beginning of this interview, with the inception of G&G, Gamilaroi Next Generation, was kind of a response to the approval of Stage 1 of that project. So Stage 1 is underway currently, but as a part of that process as well, Santos has to engage with traditional owners, that being Gomeroi. So they've been in negotiations with our native title applicant body, our group that represents Gomeroi family groups from up in that area. So this has been an ongoing process where they've been really trying to get this project up and running.
Before we get into the legal processes around the fight to stop the Narrabri gas project, can you tell us what it's actually looking like on the ground and what is at stake here for Gomeroi people and country over the lifetime of the project?
So far in the project's development, it's in a stage one. So as I stated, a part of stage one is the development of 850 gas extraction wells across four mapped out areas within the Pilliga State Forest. As a part of stage one development, they actually did cultural surveying throughout the four mapped out areas, proposed areas that they wanted to establish these 850 gas wells. And within those mapped out areas, there was a number of around 90,000 artefacts that was actually discovered within those mapped out areas, as well as sites of significance for Gomeroi people. So the cultural impact that this actually had and the cultural relevance that this showed to Gomeroi people was actually very great. And this is all publicly available as a part of the IPC, Independent Planning Commission, when they did a look into this Narrabri gas project itself. As a part of that process, it received, I think about 60% of their submissions made was actually negative in regards to the project, and that people did not actually want it, and that the cultural impact that this would have for Gomeroi people would be, like I said, would be very great. Now, going into that cultural, I guess, impact that this project can have on Gomeroi people is that it's actually going to impact the way that we go about our cultural revitalisation process. the building itself was actually seen as somewhat of a traditional supermarket in a way, where we had a lot of our resources, a lot of our fauna and flora that we would utilise for our day-to-day living. You know, we had our food source right there, we had our water source as well within the Bilya, but it also held culture significant as a meeting ground for ceremony, not only for Gomeroi people, but also for neighbouring language groups that surround the boundaries of Gomeroi. So the place itself holds a lot of cultural significance. The project itself actually kind of operates at many different levels kind of thing. So we've got the Narrabri gas project itself, where it's going to be extracting the gas from the Bilya itself. But we also got the infrastructure that's needed to transport that gas from the Bilya down to the Morrison government's proposed Kurri gas-fired power plant. So this isn't just a fight that's going to be impacting Gomeroi land and our traditional lands up in Gomeroi. It's actually going to be a project that spans all across the state. So we're talking about, you know, upwards of at least 8 different language groups being affected by the infrastructure needed to get this project up and running. So we've got, you know, not only, I guess, the environmental impact that we know coal seam gas extraction process, the impact that that has on the environment, but it's also got the environmental on our potential to engage with the cultural revitalisation process up in the Bilya and actually, you know, work to getting back a lot that we've lost in relation to our cultural practices, but also our language. And that language is, and land is crucial. They are not one without the other. So in regards to what this means for us, but also for, you know, our fauna and flora, our responsibility that we have to our non-human kin that exists within the Bilya forest itself, is very great. So it is a massive point of contention, especially seeing that we've got the external pressures from government and local government, where the Narrabri Local Council is supportive of this project being established because the guarantee of X amount of jobs and X amount of jobs that connect to the project. So we're not only just talking about working on, like, out there in the gas in the mapped out areas and working with Santos himself, but we're also talking about the possibility of contracting for jobs that relate to the maintenance as well. So we're talking about cleaners, we're talking about transport officers in and out, we're talking about ongoing cultural surveillance work. So there is a lot of, like I said, a lot of contention around this particular project, and there are groups that are supportive of that. And when I say groups, I mean non-Indigenous groups. So we're talking about the local council, we're talking about individual farmers that are on board due to compensation that has been made throughout this process. But for us as Gomeroi people, and I'm not going to say that I speak for all Gomeroi, but I speak from my experience of engaging with other mobs and the fact that everyone that I've engaged with around this proposed gas project up in the Narrabri and within the Bilya itself, they're actually against it. They're not for it. So there is a massive no coming out of country. And it's not to say that everyone is against the project, but like I said, in relation to mob that I've engaged with, my own family, there's a massive no coming out of it. But I think as well it's important to highlight what also is at risk and how it does impact other mob is the fact that as a part of this project, it does mean the extraction of water from underground resources. And now, for those who may or may not be aware, the Bilya actually sits on the Great Artesian Basin, which is, I think, one of the largest underground resources within the world. So the basin itself spans from far north Queensland all the way down the east coast. So it's a massive, massive quantity of water, and it's actually very significant to myself coming from Moree, where Moree is a township that operates solely on bore water and the treatment of bore water from the Artesian Basin. So we're talking about a process that's extracting water and injecting solution to assist with that process of extracting water and gas. And it has the potential of seeping into the Great Artesian Basin and actually contaminating that water source, which is so valuable to not only Gomeroi, but to many other mobs and non-Indigenous folk as well up and down the East Coast. So there are so many complicated levels to this and the impact that it's going to hold, not only for Gomeroi, but for a lot of nation groups up and down the coast.
So it's an enormous project with a staggering scope of impact on people and country. And I think the point you made there around not just sort of the environmental impacts, but the cultural revitalisation work and regaining what was lost is a huge one there. I mean, that sort of leads into a question around native title. I understand Santos made an application to extinguish Gomeroi native title in, I think, May last year. So what does this mean, and where is the legal process at now, and what options are there to fight this?
So where the process is at the moment is we did have a hearing where the NTS Corp solicitors represented the Gomeroi people, and Santos, of course, had their legal representation there at that tribunal hearing. But it was a hearing for first mention, so kind of providing the evidence that's sitting around this application. So the application itself, it works towards definitely weakening our rights and our ability to make determinations on things that would impact our native title. Given that Gomeroi people are actually going through the process of getting their native title recognised, which has been ongoing, the process itself works towards forcing us into making a determination around this project itself. So I guess the application that they actually lodged, the official application they lodged, was a Future Act determination. So a party can lodge a Future Act determination on an area that might impact on future determinations of native title for a particular language group. So given that we haven't got our native title recognised, we had to engage in this process, and an application was lodged back in May last year. Now, as a part of that process, once the initial hearing happens, and it's written in the legislation, is that there has to be a decision made as soon as possible. I think the time frame for a decision to be made as a part of this determination is actually 6 to 12 months. Now, given that Native Title Corp actually knew about this process back in May last year, and we, not many Gomeroi did, was actually very impactful and very hurtful to a lot of Gomeroi mob. The fact that a lot of mob didn't know that this process was actually occurring within the courts until a couple of weeks ago, and that's kind of where I was at as well with Raymond Webber and Bo Spearham, is that this is something that we weren't aware of until literally a few weeks ago. So in response to becoming aware of this application that Santos made through the Native Title Tribunal, you know, it was kind of a call to action for us to actually stand up and be accountable and to do something.
You're on Solidarity Breakfast, and we're listening to an absolutely gripping interview that my fellow broadcaster Emma Hart has done with Gomeroi man and member of Gomeroi Next Generation, Ian Brown, speaking here about a Future Act determination lodged by Santos to try to push through the Narrabri gas project in northwest New South Wales. This is a continuation of their conversation.
Now, as a part of that, essentially what they are trying to do is force Gomeroi into making a decision around this, and as part of that process, we're going to have an All Nations Native Title meeting where we could actually put this to the table and take a vote on whether or not we want it up there. And that vote actually goes towards our evidence of whether it's we're in support or whether we're against. And I'm just kind of talking in hypotheticals, but as I said before, a lot of the Gomeroi people that I've spoken to, as well as a lot of, family representatives with part of that Native Title process, aren't in big favour of this project because of the cultural impact. Yeah, the impact that this would have on Gomeroi people, but also not only just our cultural impact, but also just our standard way of living. The fact that a lot of mobs still utilise our rivers and our creek systems up home to source native proteins as a way of living, as a way of connecting the country. This project will actually be at a massive detriment to Gomeroi people, but also our fauna and flora and our sacred lands that by birthright, as sovereign Gomeroi people, you know, it was our birthright to care for that country. So we have a responsibility in this process to really stand up and be accounted for, and not only us, but all mobs, non-Indigenous folk as well, who aren't about expanding the fossil fuel industry. So that's where we're at the moment with it, is that this application is before the Native Title Tribunal, and we are in the process of gathering evidence to go towards our case that we're making within that project.
And there was a protest action on Monday the 7th of February. Was it outside the Independent Planning Commission? Could you tell us about that?
So the protest was called there because initially that's where the hearing was going to be had in Sydney. but there was a last-minute change to where that was going to be heard, and it was transferred up to Brisbane. So as a part of that, we just really wanted to make our position clear to, I guess, Santos, but also to the government, but also to the broader public. Now, a lot of Gomeroi Māori have been campaigning in relation to this for years, but now it's getting to the point where we have to stand up and have to do something. And if we can gather as much public support around us wanting Santos to yanai off our country, then that goes towards us achieving our goal. And our goal is ultimately to be able to, one, have a legitimate say and veto rights to what occurs on country. We want access to a lot of our traditional lands, and that's a part of the, you know, our lands back process. So it all ties in because essentially, you know, we're 2022 and we're still fighting for land rights, something which was a part of, when I think about the Aboriginal 10 Embassy down in Canberra, a lot of the stuff that they were talking about 50 years ago, like us mob nowadays are still asking for that, especially here on the East Coast. Yeah, so that protest essentially was to make our position very clear to the general public about where we stand, to have a demonstration where we stood up and, you know, we're being accounted for, but also making it known that this isn't just our fight, this is everyone's fight. And the fact that we want to move away from extractive industries, especially the fossil fuel industry, and we want to move towards something that's going to be sustainable moving forward. So I guess we're talking about, you know, really making it clear that, one, we don't want Santos or this Narrabri gas project on our country. Two, we would like all mining companies or companies that operate within extractive industries to actually cease their operations and also to move off country. We also want the right to access and care for our country, you know, and that speaks to employment opportunities, that speaks to sustainable jobs that actually not only work towards creating a better economic outcome for Gomeroi people, but also enriching the cultural element and the sense of cultural belonging, the fact that we actually have a responsibility to country. And if we could really partner up a lot of these fights, then that's where we want to go. You know, we're talking about getting traditional owners out there in our forests and in our native parks and that, and actually working as rangers to really bring our lands back to what they once were. And we know it's not going to ever get back to 100%, but it's the process of actually giving us the power back to make our decisions and be self-conscious about how we see fit to care for country and to engage with this Western society.
I mean, it seems in this conversation there's a real tension between using the coloniser legal system to protect Gomeroi people and country. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. At the end of the day, my personal views is that native title is a colonial tool, and it is a tool that was developed to not serve First Nations people, especially when you take into consideration the requirements of native title. You know, the fact that you had to have a continuous and ongoing cultural practice. Now, colonisation as a process actually limited our ability to practice, to speak language. So was it really developed to serve the interests of First Nation people? And I don't believe it was, because it is still a colonial tool and it is still recognised within the system. But what we're speaking to is actually, you know, I'm talking about just abolishing all of that stuff, and I'm really talking about how do we build a really inclusive system that prioritises First Nation sovereignty, you know, especially Gomeroi sovereignty, the fact that we haven't ceded our sovereignty, how to place that at the forefront. And we're not talking about just land use, because it's part of the native title process itself. It gives you the right to have a say about what occurs on that surface level of country. Now, you don't have any rights to the minerals that are beneath that, but you have a right to engage in conversation for people who may want to utilise space that are on that surface level. So really the powers that native title give us isn't really great, isn't really substantial, and does it serve its purpose? And I think it actually is doing exactly what it was meant to do, and that to limit our rights within this colonial system. So essentially what it would be about is actually going back to a governance structure, a First Nation governance structure, mob's governance structure, each individual language group, and actually having the ability to have a say and veto rights over what occurs on your country. Because at the end of the day, native title as well, whether or not the tribunal agrees with the case that NTF Corp puts forward for the Gomeroi people, the individual who has the last say is still the minister. So even if the tribunal did side with Gomeroi's arguments, the minister can still come in and say, well, the economic benefits of this project outweigh the cultural impacts that it might have. So really, you know, I'm asking myself and I'm thinking about it critically is, and what everyone should be looking at native title and other colonial systems is, like, does it really serve its purpose? It isn't really a democratic process at that, or an objective process, because if at the end of the day, if the tribunal still sides with mob, and we've still got someone up in government who can still come down and say, no, I'm going to overturn that decision, and we're going to go ahead with this project anyway. So it poses the question, do we really have any rights in relation to engaging in conversations and having substantial impact or decision-making abilities around what occurs on country and in relation to our traditional homelands?
What can listeners do to support the fight against Santos's Narrabri gas project?
Well, you know, as a part of this process of, I guess, collecting evidence as well, I myself would like to have a negotiation as a part of that All Nations meeting to say, you know, how do we really capture the discontent that not only Gomeroi people hold in relation to this project, but the wider public that are on country, but also everyone for our country. Because essentially the way that what I see this is that if they get this win over the Narrabri gas project, that opens up the ability for Santos to not only expand within our country, but all up and down the East Coast, wherever there might be gas deposits. So this is kind of, I feel like in a way that Gomeroi, in relation to their resistance within this fight, it's kind of holding back the floodgates in a way, because we know we've got a federal government who's for fossil fuel industry. We know we've got a state government who's also in support of this industry expanding. So how do we really prepare mob for this? Because if they could come in and they can lodge an application which works towards extinguishing our native title rights in our country, nothing's stopping them from doing it to any other mob. So I feel like it's about getting, you know, like, do we either, once we have that All Nation meeting, do we try and get a document together where we get all Gomeroi signature, including Gomeroi mob that might not be engaged with the native title process, about going out there and actually getting a real substantive mandate from mob on country about what they think should occur in relation to that process. And then looking wider as well, you know, we're talking about petitions, we're talking about really listening, and we're talking about engaging with different industries that might be contracted as a part of that to really get our case across the line. But if you're looking to support the cause, it's about getting behind the Gomeroi people. You know, there are multiple different groups on Facebook. If you just type in Gomeroi, which is spelled G-O-M-E-R-O-I, or you type in Gamilaray, which is G-A-M-I-L-A-R-A-A-Y, Gamilaray, then there'll be a number of different groups that come up. But we're also talking about, you know, ringing up Native Title and expressing your concerns in Native Title, ringing up your local government MP, your local representative for state government, and sharing your views about this project, the impact that it'll have on future generations. Because it's not just about the here and now, it's about what our future's going to look like for First Nation mob, not only in Gomeroi, but throughout Australia, if we keep going down this dangerous path of continually investing into the fossil fuel industry when we know, you know, we've got multiple different impacts in relation to the way that the climate is going, the way that land is being occupied. So we're talking about those kind of things, but it's definitely about how do we utilise the strength that we got, and also getting in contact with Gomeroi and asking, what can we do? You know, is there anything as a part of the process? Would you like us to set up a solidarity rally in support of Gomeroi's efforts in defending country up there? So there's multiple different ways that we can really do this, and it's about just keeping your eye out on where this process is going, keep an eye out on Facebook channels for updates around this, also following Native Title, you know, looking at their updates on their websites around this particular issue. So there's multiple different ways that we can go about it. But definitely, if you're not from country, you know, it's just about supporting the local mob and about ringing up your local government electives and really expressing how you feel about this project. So there's multiple different ways that we can support this. But yeah, definitely it's about showing up as well. Showing up is a big part. If we could get the masses down here to really really show that we don't want this, especially the expansion of fossil fuel industry within New South Wales and Australia more widely, then, you know, that would go along a lot of the way towards achieving our outcome that we hope, which is getting these extractive industries off of country.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program today, Ian, especially when you're not feeling well.
No worries. Thank you so much for your time.